those JFK controllers who let kids on the radio. What should happen to them? I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. My guest is Max Trescott, who is well known for his blog at maxtrescott.com and a very well-known authority on glass panel cockpits and training for them. And I wanted to get Max's opinion on the whole JFK controller flap because he had an interesting post in his blog at maxtrescott.com. Max, thanks for talking to us today.
Yeah, hello again, Paul.
Max, on March 5th, Jay Leno's Tonight Show, Morgan Freeman was on there, and he kind of surprised me in his candor in saying that these controllers at JFK who let some kids talk on the radio were being railroaded and really should not face serious repercussions. And that seems to go against the whole way they're being painted in the press and the opinion I get when I mention that story to someone who's not a pilot. Where is the disconnect here, and why is it that so many pilots, including apparently a lot of airline pilots, expressing little coded bits of support over the radio in their interaction with ATC at JFK, seem to be supportive of these guys and that they should not lose their jobs? And you agreed with that in your blog.
Yeah, and what I've heard is that pilots are now signing off and saying adios, which of course is what the 10-year-old child had said to the pilots during the JFK incident. You know, I think that most of us realize that the act itself didn't create a problem, that it was kind of cute. And, you know, frankly, I think we've all heard every once in a while the opposite. I mean, how many times will some pilot put his kid up to talking to the controller over the radio? Mm-hmm. You know, so those kinds of things happen on both sides. And I think at the time, everybody just kind of thought, hey, that's kind of cute, thought nothing of it. And on the face of it, you know, there isn't more to it except that, I mean, times are people distracted by having, you know, their kids running around or at work or things like that. I immediately thought of times when I had brought one or both of my kids into my workplace, and I thought about, oh yeah, boy, were they distracting.
And
I think sometimes kids are actually more distracting to their parents than they are to other people. You know, I'm sure other people in the control tower just kind of smiled and ignored them, whereas the parent has to be responsible for keeping them out of trouble and watching them and, you know, making sure they're minding their P's and Q's. So I think the potential, and that's all it really is, the potential existed for the parent controller to be distracted by having his child in the tower, you know, whether he was on the radio or not. And I'm sure that these controllers are extremely professional and made sure that there was no issue. But, you know, the potential existed for some other controller somewhere else to have created an incident by doing that. So I think, people felt that it was certainly a breach of professionalism, even if it didn't cause an unsafe act in itself. And that, yeah, probably the controllers at most need some type of reprimand, but ought to be put back to work pretty quickly. You know, frankly, if they get fired over this, I think that's a big mistake.
You know, I was kind of surprised. NATCA, the controllers union, even kind of 10-foot pulled these guys. I mean, they said that, this is not what we're about, and seem to kind of distance themselves from these guys. And that struck me as very odd, considering the way unions sometimes appear to back even the most egregiously bad employees.
Right. Yeah, that is kind of interesting, because you're right. Usually they will back controllers 100% on that. So, you know, what that tells me is that they understand that on the face of it, that to a non-pilot, this sounds absolutely horrendous. I mean, non-pilots are just kind of stunned that, oh my gosh, this could possibly have happened. And so I think that, the reality of the danger in the situation is minor compared to what it really was. So I think they're probably worried more about public perception than, the actual act itself.
Are these guys kind of caught in a perfect storm of a new incoming FAA administrator who's made professionalism a big deal, coming at the same time when the Colgan 3407 thing with idle chit-chat is going on and all the other factors that are focused in on professionalism? Is it just partly the environment?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that if this happened, 10 years ago, probably not much would have come of it. You know, there's another thing that, wouldn't have happened 10 years ago. 10 years ago, you wouldn't have been listening to JFK air traffic control over the internet on your computer. And so there are lots of websites where, hundreds of people and non-pilots are just listening to transmissions to JFK all the time. So the fact that this happened probably never would have been reported before. But, I don't think controllers have really change their behavior, recognizing that they're now in a very public view. In the past, what they did was a private conversation between themselves and a couple other people listening. Now they're operating in the public arena, as most people are on the internet.
Max, when we come back from the break, I want to talk about something else you mentioned in your March 9th blog posting about professionalism, and that was some things that you thought were much more egregious examples. We'll do that after the break. Max Trescott is my guest. We'll talk more in a moment. I'm Paul Plack. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR22 GTS, Cirrus's premium luxury ride that has come to define Cirrus aircraft as one of the world's elite. Every dream option from supple leather seats to an exhilarating 310 horsepower performance and speed come standard, giving new meaning to the phrase fully loaded. When flying the SR22 GTS, getting there is truly more than half the fun. To learn more, call 888-750-9000 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. Paul Plack here with Max Trescott. And Max, we're talking about your March 9th blog in which you talk about professionalism. We've talked a little bit about the JFK controller flap over letting kids get on the radio. But you had a couple of other really egregious cases of unprofessional conduct by air traffic controllers that have far less question that somebody ought to lose their job over this. Talk about the one that happened on Reunion Island off the coast of Madagascar. That one was just amazing to me.
Yeah, so that one didn't involve controllers, but let me talk about that because it's, to me, was just the most egregious of all of the events, and yet none of these have made the news like the JFK controller incident. So that's why, to me, it was particularly interesting that something like JFK, which was not nearly as egregious, has been covered 24/7 by the news media, and these were missed. So there was an Air Austral, Air Austral, by the way, serves a lot of the islands in the French, in the Indian Ocean region. It's French Airlines. They were on Reunion Island, and they were letting their aircraft be used by the local police services, which were simulating a rescue of hostages who'd been, theoretically hijacked. And so they, put the air stair up, and they, breached the aircraft. And in the process, one of the policemen was firing bullets, and it turned out that he had real rounds in his gun, and he shot out the windows in the left-hand front entrance of the aircraft. Fortunately, nobody was injured, but the aircraft, which was scheduled to fly that evening back to France, was taken out of service, and a lot of passengers didn't get moved on. And I was intrigued by that because the photo that I have accompanying this is one that I took of in the last couple of months when I was really lucky enough to witness a SWAT team in a major city here in the U.S., practicing breaching an airliner. And it wasn't the breach that to me was the most interesting. What was most interesting was before they started, one of the supervisors very thoroughly checked each one of the officer's gear to make sure it was fitted properly and that his weapons were checked for ammunition. And that kind of attention to detail to me really showed the height of professionalism. And it was clear that that kind of thing did not happen on Reunion Island.
I guess we would hope that nothing would go that wrong in this country, but humans are humans around the globe. Let's talk about the other one. This one did involve air traffic controllers, and this was about a tower in Germany where something happened that is just amazing to me.
This is really amazing. Ryanair, which is the discount airlines that is based out of Dublin and flies, literally they're advertising $5 flights on their website this week. They had a flight scheduled from London to Altenburg, which is a suburb of Leipzig. They always fly to the cheap airports in the suburbs to save money. Anyway, they were diverted. They were not able to land at Altenburg. The air traffic control, the approach controller, could not contact the tower. And the reason they were unable to contact the tower and this aircraft had to get diverted to Berlin was there was nobody in the tower. Apparently, there was some type of foul-up with the duty roster, and so nobody had been scheduled to work for that period of time. By the way, we're not talking 2 in the morning. This flight is scheduled in at 12:30 every afternoon. So apparently, there was a controller on duty in the morning, we're surmising, who left when the next guy didn't show up. I mean, you worked in broadcasting. What would have happened then? Wouldn't the prior disc jockey have stuck around even if he had to work a couple of extra hours?
Well, having started my radio career in Buffalo, where we had blizzards sometimes, I got very, very familiar with that concept. And yeah, I mean, you know, you'd you would take whatever actions were necessary to try to avoid it happening again after the fact, but you didn't like turn off the transmitter and go home.
Or, well, this is apparently what happened here. I guess folks figured, hey, my shift is over and off I go. So I'm a little stunned that, and by the way, this is a private company which operates that particular tower. I don't know if that changes anything. But again, I just thought the standard for professionalism was way below the mark there. And I frankly don't think that would ever happen in an FAA staffed tower, you know, regardless of, you know, of controllers, you know, occasional lapses. Nobody would ever do that. I'm sure these guys would, you know, work overtime to make sure that, you know, the tower didn't close.
Well, they need some kind of deal like they have in Turkey or wherever it is, where overtime is so extravagantly rewarded that people look forward to opportunities to stay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So obviously they don't have the right incentives in place in the private towers in Germany. Hopefully that's not a problem here in the U.S.
Well, Max, I really enjoy your blog. When you post something, it's almost always something that really makes me think. And we'd like to direct our listeners to check it out at www.maxtrescott.com. You'll also find links to the books that are available for Max and the other training materials on glass cockpits and GPS and WASP materials, and also to Max's training enterprise, which is Max is an independent trainer in California. Max, as always, we appreciate it. We'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks, Paul. It's been fun.
Max Trescott is also the 2008 National Instructor of the Year and now a regular columnist in EAA Sport Aviation magazine. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.